years ago when I had the privilege to go to Israel, one of our visits was the Garden of Gethsemane. And the tour director there told us that some of the trees, some of the olive trees, were 3,000 years old. And it touched my heart to think that we could be walking under one of the trees where our Lord knelt and prayed. As Sister Theresa was singing, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But I love the word "nevertheless." I tell you what, if you ever get that in your life, "Lord, I'd like to see it this way." That's what the three Hebrew children were saying. Our God's able to deliver us, but something you need to know, old king, if he don't deliver us, we still ain't going to bow to your image of gold. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." And at one point, Jesus said, "For this cause came I into the world." He was going to hang on that tree. "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," the Bible said. And he became a curse that you and I might become the children of the living God. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'll try my best to be as brief as I possibly can, but I want to bring a thought. And for a springboard tonight, I want to look at James chapter number 1 and verse number 27. Then we'll look at a passage of Scripture in First John, in chapter number 1. James tonight, in chapter number 1 and verse number 27, the Bible said, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." I'd like to read a passage now in 1 John, if you'll go there to chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Let me stop and ask a question. Who is 1 John being written to? It's being written to the saints of God. It's being written to the children of God. He said, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." I have an illustration I'm going to share after a while about a little girl that'll really bless your heart on that matter right there. Now look at 1 John chapter number 5. He tells us over here in James to keep himself unspotted from the world. In chapter number 5, in verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come." How many knows that tonight? "And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And then in verse 21, he said, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. Again, this is not written to the house of ill repute, so to speak, or the barroom crowd, or the rock music crowd, but it's written to God's little children. Keep yourself from idols. If you'll pray with me tonight, I want to try to bring a thought for just a few minutes tonight on how to be clean in 2017. How to be clean in 2017. We know that our initial cleansing is through the blood of Calvary's cross. But I think sometimes we fail to realize that not only did that blood get us in the family, but that blood, that precious blood, helps us to be sanctified that we might be used of God, a vessel meet for the Master's use. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, and I thank you for these precious people that have come to hear the Word of God tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech, touch our throat tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we might be able to speak the words of truth. Father, I pray tonight that this service would not just be a blessing tonight, but, Lord, a blessing in our heart throughout this new year. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. If the Bible said, and it did, that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, how many believes the world has the idea of laying some spots on God's children? Now, that's what I believe. I've believed for many years that Hollywood is not by accident, that it's by design. You have all kinds of programs going on today. Now, I don't know what they are. I couldn't tell you the title of one of them. But I do enough reading to know that they're out there that are promoting a man and a man being married and raising children, and a woman being married and raising children. And they're promoting extramarital affairs, and they're promoting premarital affairs, and they're promoting liquor, and they're promoting gambling. And in other words, every way we turn around, there's some kind of influence. Young people tonight, I mean, it wouldn't matter to me if every young person in Bloomingdale laughs at me when I say this, but that rock music and that rap music just has a design to lay its spots all over you and all over anyone that will listen to it. And I'm going to say this. I'm not just going to pick on the young people. If you like that country music, honey, it's full of spots too. Somebody said when you play the rock music backwards, you get the devil's message. Somebody said, well, what do you get when you play country music backwards? They said you get your dog back and you get your house back and you get your job back and all that. Twang, twang, twang. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. For years, my mom and dad listened to Charlie Pride. I'm 57 years old trying to figure out how that sleeping under a table at a roadside park, a man can wake up dead. You'll get that after a while, amen. I'm still trying to figure out how you do that, amen. But listen tonight. The world, Hollywood, the sex culture, the rock culture, the rap culture, the culture of this world. Brother Kevin, those girls tonight are blessed. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a world out there that wants to lay its spots on them babies tonight. Little Olivia, I look at her, and part of me, my heart just melts. Charity's always walking around the house like this. You know what that means? She's got you wrapped around her finger. And another part of me fears, because I know that there's a Satan out there and there's the traps out there that want to spot that baby and take that baby's life from her. How to be clean. In Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40, there came a leper to him, Jesus beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How many believes if somebody comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you will, you're the one. You're the only one that can make me clean. I may believe that. Watch what the Bible said. And Jesus moved with compassion. Hallelujah. Put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Let me just stop and say this tonight. In the Bible, leprosy was a spot on the outside. It was not just one, but you were spotted on the outside. It became evident. There was all kinds of tests given in the Old Testament economy to whether that leprosy was contagious or not. and whether a person was to be declared unclean or not. But let me give you this tonight. What God is talking to us about tonight is not necessarily the spots on the outside. But honey, there's going to be that tendency for spots to develop on the inside. That's where, Brother Brian, these tests, like the CAT scan and then the MRIs and the things that break it down, they're looking on the inside. And what God wants us to know tonight is He's not looking on the outside, He's looking on the inside. And that the world is not necessarily trying to spot us on the outside, but it's trying to spot us on the inside. But let me tell you something about those spots. They will come out. They'll come out. I thought about this tonight. My wife and I, we live about 35 or 40 minutes from the church. 35, that's about the best we've been able to do. And not get a blue light special. I'm honest with you tonight. I don't think it's a thing of pride, but maybe a little bit of it is pride. Maybe all of us got a little bit more than that, and we should have. But I'm going to do one of two things. If time would allow me, I'm either going to turn around and I'm going to go back to the house. How many's listening to me? Or if time won't allow me, I'm going to get me a rag and get me some water and I'm going to try to get all of that off that I can. You say, preacher, why? Because I don't want to come to the house of God with a spot that everybody can see. I might even take my credit card and go down there and get me a new shirt and put it on, wrinkles and all, rather than come to the house of God with a spot that everybody's going to see. And I'll tell you something tonight. What if Pastor was just as concerned, Brother Grizzle, about the spots that nobody can see? I talked to a man Friday at lunch. His son has been in some trouble. His son has tattoos all over him. And I told the man what I told the man in prison. I said, sir, the man walked up to me and he had demons tattooed all over his arms, all the way up his neck. And I said, sir, he said to me, he said, I'm ashamed of these tattoos. And I looked at him. And with compassion, I said this. Do you know the difference between your tattoos and mine? He looked at me, and of course he couldn't see a tattoo anywhere. If I live by the grace of God, unless somebody puts me on one on me against my will, they ain't going to be one. Amen. But anyway, I said, do you know the difference between your tattoos and mine? He said, what's that, preacher? I said, you can see yours. I said, sin has tattooed me too. We've everyone, my friend, experienced the spots that this world wants to put on us. And God wants us to be clean. Not just in 2017, but I thought it might help us to remember the text tonight. How to be clean in 2017, unspotted from the world. Let me give you three things tonight, hurriedly, and we'll go home. Number one, we need the fear of the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 9 of chapter 19 in the book of Psalms, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Bible said, he that hath clean hands, Psalm 24:4, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The fear of the Lord is what we need if we're going to be clean. What happened? What happened in David's life? In Psalm 51, he cried out, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He cried out in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David, the man after God's own heart, found himself spotted by the world. David didn't like it. You can say one thing. David might have fooled around, and David might have messed around, and David made some bad mistakes. He made a mistake with Bathsheba. He made a bad mistake in getting Uriah drunk. He made another bad mistake in getting Uriah killed. David might as well stuck the sword in Uriah himself. But you know what? Wasn't long till David was missing something that he used to have. You see, the spots will cause you to miss something that you used to have. You say, preacher, what is it? Read Psalm 51. He said, oh God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He was missing that joy. He still had a relationship with God, but he did not have fellowship with the God of heaven. The fellowship was gone. Create in me a clean heart. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. I want to share an illustration with you tonight and another a little bit later. I've never read this before, and boy, it really spoke to my heart. These names, this name is tough. In 1818, you spell it I-G-N-A-Z, Ignaz Philip. My wife told me you say the W of V, Semmelweis, was born into a world of dying women. The finest hospitals lost one out of six young mothers to a scourge of what they called childbed fever. A doctor's daily routine began in the dissecting room where he performed autopsies. From there, he made his way to the hospital to examine expectant mothers without ever pausing to wash his hands. Dr. Semmelweis was the first man in history to associate such examinations with the resultant infection and death. His own practice was to wash with a chlorine solution. And after 11 years and the delivery of 8,537 babies, he lost only 184 mothers, about 1 in 50. He spent the vigor of his life lecturing and debating with his colleagues. Once he argued, childbed fever is caused by decomposed material conveyed to a womb. I have shown how that it can be prevented. I have poured all that I have said. I have proved all that I have said. But while we talk, gentlemen, women are dying. I am not asking anything world shaking. I am asking you only to wash. For God's sake, wash your hands. But virtually no one believed him. Doctors and midwives had been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing, and no outspoken Hungarian was going to change their mind. Semmelweis died insane at age 47. His wash basins were discarded, his colleagues laughing in his face, and the death rattle of 1,000 women ringing in his ears. Wash me was the anguished prayer of King David. Wash was the message of John the Baptist. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me, is what Jesus told Peter. Beloved, for God's sake, we need to be clean. We need to wash. This illustration is speaking of the outside. But I say to the church of the living God, for God's sake, we need to be clean on the inside. God wants us to be clean. We need the fear of the Lord. Secondly, we need the word of the Lord. Jesus in John 15, he said, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. My mama, by the way, I'm going to stop just a minute and brag on Sister Jean. She left me a message on my phone yesterday. It said, happy birthday, Pastor. You say, preacher, why are you bragging on her? It meant a lot to me because she took up where my mama left off. Mama would call me every day on my birthday, wish me a happy birthday. But my mama used to send us boys back there into the bathroom, that old farmhouse, to wash. And we'd come out of there, and I would say at least 9 out of 10 times we had to go back. There might have been one in 10 times that the first trip got it done. And Mama would say, look at this. And I'd say, Mama, that's suntan. And Mama would lick her finger. And she'd say, no, it ain't. Boy, you're rusty. That's what she called it. And she'd wipe it off of there. Now get back in there and use some soap and water. He said, preacher, I get in my Bible. Here's what God wants us to say. Stay in it. Get back in there. Don't neglect the Word of God, because Jesus said, you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. The Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God is telling us that he wants us to be clean. Let me give you this thirdly tonight. Not only do we need the fear of God, I've told the church this before and I think it's worthy of repeating. When we started out raising children, Brother Kevin, I wanted my children to fear Daddy. And there needs to be an amount of that. Somebody help me. I mean, my daddy had a belt. My daddy didn't know what social services was. Amen. My daddy wasn't afraid to leave a red mark where the sun don't shine. Somebody help me. And I'm not saying you should, because we're living in a different generation. But I will say this, spare the rod, you'll spoil that brat. Have to be corrected. You and I as God's children still have to be corrected. Thank God. He said, if you're without chastisement, you're not one of his. Now listen tonight. We need the Word of God. We need the fear of God. We need more than just to teach our children to fear us. We need to teach our children to fear God. You say, why, preacher? Because God's there when we can't be. Because God sees what we don't see. Because God hears what we don't hear. Amen. And we need to teach our children. Yes, there should be a respect for mother. There should be a respect for father. But I tell you what, there needs to be a healthy respect and fear of the living God. Number three, we need the will of the Lord if we're going to be clean. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Read with me, please, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, here it is again, talking to God's people, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to walk to please God this year? Well, how many believe that in order to do that, God wants us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? He said in verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Watch this now. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. We have forewarned you and testified. Look at verse 7. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. He therefore that despiseth, boy, God spoke to my heart right here a while ago, despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now watch this. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. A young man says to a young lady, if you loved me, you would fill in the blank. Let me give the young lady something to say to the young man. If you love me, you will wait. You say, now, preacher, you done got off in a mess. Let me just say this to you. I'll cover it here in a minute. God says one of the first things that we're one of the ways he's talking about here, the will of God, your sanctification. Listen, that's one of the spots that this world is trying to lay on young people today that they don't have to be spotted with. And somebody says, well, preacher, what about others who have had those spots? They would all say amen to what I'm about to say. If you can make it, youngins, make it without the spots. Make it to the marriage altar. Clean and pure before God. You say, preacher, that'll never work in this generation. Let me tell you something about the Bible. It'll work in every generation. The problem's not the Bible. The problem's the flesh. Young lady in North Carolina, youth group of 500 people. This man preached to them. And later that man took up with a secretary in the church. He did a good job for a long time. David did a good job too. We have an enemy. Folks, listen to me. I didn't say you have an enemy. We have an enemy. Amen. Young people have an enemy. Mom and dad have an enemy. Grandparents have an enemy. This church has an enemy. That enemy wants to lay his spots on us so bad that he can bring reproach on Christ that delivered us from our sin. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, in that day, and this has been 25 years ago, pressure was put on young people to give up their virginity. A teenage girl was in a bathroom. 10 of them. 9 of them had her cornered. Here's how she came out of the corner. I want you to think about this. She looked at those other 9 and said, I can be what you are anytime I choose to be. You can never be what I am again. Now, wait a minute. I'm going somewhere tonight. That's not all there is to spots, but I'm going to tell you what. That's a major spot in our generation. It's a major spot. And let me tell you something right now. The divorce rate, listen, it's not just in the world anymore. It's in the church too. God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be clean. And I need to stop and say this. When somebody blows it, thank God for the blood. But the best testimony is not somebody that God had to get out of the gutter. The best testimony in the world is somebody who's never been to the gutter. Never knows the depths. Never knows what a drop of liquor tastes like. Never knows what smoke coming out your nose and both ears feels like or looks like. Never knows what drugs are or the effect that they have. Yes, we're all sinners. But I'm going to tell you, God forgives sin, but let me tell you something about sin. It leaves scars. Why do you preach like you're preaching, preacher? Because I'd like to see someone spared the scars. The scars. Now, notice what the Bible said in verse number 8. How many knows when you preach like that, normally, not this church, because this is the best church in the whole world, but normally, somebody gets mad when you preach like that. How many knows that? How many realizes that? Some are getting glad, Brother Gay, and others are getting mad. You start preaching about coming out from among the world and touch not the unclean thing. And I tell you, somebody will get mad. I just want to stop and say this tonight. Just realize who you're mad at. You think you're mad at me? You're not mad at me. Look what the Bible said. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. He not really mad at me. They wasn't really mad at Moses. They wasn't really mad at Paul. They were mad at God. God wants us to know that it is the will of the Lord, even our sanctification. I couldn't say it any better than this, so I'm going to quote it after John Newton. I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not trying to stand here tonight and preach to you as someone who has arrived. If that were the case, there'd be no preaching. Somebody say amen. There wouldn't be a man in shoe leather qualified to preach the message if he had to have it all right. Because the only one that ever got it all right was Jesus. But tonight, God wants us to know we need the Word of God, we need the fear of God, and we need the will of God if we have any hope tonight of being clean before God. I don't know about you tonight. I feel like the little girl, and I'll tell this as close as I can. A little girl came before the church to join the church, and one of the older deacons examined her. And he said to her, he said, young lady, are you a sinner? And she says, yes, sir, I am. And he said to her, well, are you still a sinner? And she said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, well, what makes you think that you qualify to join this church? And she said to him, Brother Ralph, she said, well, before I come to know the Lord, she said, I was always running after sin. But she said, after I come to know Him, I'm always running from sin. There's a difference. God's people aren't perfect yet. Hang around a while, honey. One day I'm going to be like Jesus. We're not perfect yet. We're headed that way. But I tell you what, I'm glad tonight we ain't running after sin the way we used to. And what God's trying to tell us tonight is in this year, if we want to stay clean, run from it. Don't run to it. Run from it. Run from it. Run from it. You know what I believe? I believe if you could talk to Joseph tonight, Potiphar's wife came in there, same kindly situation. Well, not exactly the same, but I reckon a woman's a woman and a man's a man. And Potiphar's wife come in there to Joseph and said, lie with me. Lie with me. Boy, I don't know how to imitate what her voice must have sounded like. But I believe Satan was in that voice. I mean, I believe it was a voice that was, what's the word, alluring. A voice that just made sin sound so good. Lie with me. The Word of God said that Joseph ran. He lost his coat. She grabbed his coat. But he didn't lose his character. There's a time having done all to stand. But there's other times in our lives when the best thing we could do is just run. Run for our life. I used to tell the men in prison often, and it goes for anybody, the crowd you run with will determine the course that your life takes. been talking with Abram, trying to encourage him when he gets to where he's going. Get down there to the chapel. Don't talk to the inmates first. Talk to the chaplain. And here's the question I told him to ask the chaplain. Is there anybody in this place that's serious about serving God? The chaplain will know. The chaplain will know. And I said, when he tells you, I said, you get with them boys that's serious about serving God. And you run with them. They'll help you and you'll be a help to them. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everywhere you go, you can go to the best school in Kingsport. You can go to the worst school in Kingsport. And I don't know which one's which. I don't know. But there's a right crowd and a wrong crowd in both them schools. You can go to the best church in Kingsport. You can go to the worst church in Kingsport. And I'll guarantee you there's a right crowd and a wrong crowd in both them churches. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know if you've ever experienced it or not. If you get around somebody with an old critical spirit, buddy, it'll rub off on you. You'll be lower than a snake's belly before you know. You'll forget that the sun's shining and that the sun's still up there and the stars are still up there. And you'll forget that God's still on his throne. That's how much influence people can have in your life. So run with the right crowd. Find you somebody that loves the Lord. Find you somebody that don't listen to that garbage. Find you somebody that don't tell them filthy jokes. Find you somebody that don't look at the filthy literature. Say amen. Amen. And run with them. Run with them. Run with them. May God help us. I didn't say you. May God help us to be clean in 2017. That means glad you come tonight. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I reckon I've never done it. They say it's fun. Have any of you young people ever played paintball before? None of you have? They say it's fun. You got to put goggles on. You have, Gary Joe? You've played it before? Is it fun? They say it is. I could imagine having a ball, especially if John Dockery was the target. Amen. I mean, you got to put goggles on. You got to put stuff on to protect you. But the idea is that there's a war going on. The idea is to shoot that guy or shoot that girl, and that spot that paintball leaves knocks them out of the game. And you just keep narrowing it down. Am I telling it kindly right? Keep narrowing it down and narrowing it down. My heart's broke tonight, but I tell you. There's a lot of people been shot and knocked out of the game. How many knows what I'm talking about? They used to be in the choir. They used to be in the pulpit. They used to be in the house of God. They looked down one day and there was a big old spot. Some of them are more permanent than others. Somebody help me right there. I mean, if I spill water on my shirt, that's one thing. But if I spill ketchup, that's another thing. The other day, Charity brought home some donuts. I didn't feel like Charity. She did all of them all by herself. And I thought the thing was raspberry filled. Y'all got to remember, I'm colorblind. Every one of you would have known that wasn't raspberry by the color. But I didn't know until I got it in my mouth. Never have eaten one before in my life. A chocolate-filled donut. But if I live, it won't be the last. Hush. That's a preacher's way of saying shut up. Amen. And I was sitting there and I had Sawyer in this arm. I was in the recliner. And Miss Eve warmed it up in the microwave. How many knows what happens to chocolate in the microwave? Man, do you know where you at? Because I know you're a chocolate lover. And so I got me a bite. Boy, I dipped it in that raspberry. But when it got right there, I figured out it wasn't raspberry. If you would have told me a chocolate donut, I would have thought, you have lost your mind. But honey, I found it in that first forkful, and I just started cutting off pieces and rolling them in that. And my wife, I told my wife, I said, honey, I was on my way to my mouth with one of them. I'm about half blind too, but I thought I seen something drip. And my wife, I told my wife, I said, I think there's a drip. She looked, she said, nope, you're good. Next day she came in with my pants. Right there on khaki pants was a drip of chocolate. What are you trying to say? If you're not careful, you can be spotted and can't even find it. He said, preacher, you got any Bible for that? Brother Grizzle David said, search me, O God, and try me. In other words, David realized after his encounter and after his mistakes, sometimes we don't even know what's going on in there. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There may be a spot that you're not aware of and that I'm not aware of, but there will never be a spot that he's not aware of. If we'll get before him and ask him, God, show me. I want to be clean in this new year. I want to be a vessel unto honor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for these precious people that have come to the house of God. How I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us in this new year. Not to live in the past, but as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. We press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us as we press toward that mark, Lord, to determine by the grace of God, with the help of God, through the fear of God, through the word of God, doing the will of God, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. In Jesus' name.